Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Sitting out on the deck, doing a podcast tonight on the cusp of Mercury transiting in front of the sun, which apparently happens only 13 times a century. What's going to happen is Mercury, the planet Mercury, will pass in front of the sun from our perspective. We're just happening to pass in a way that we can see Mercury transiting in front of the sun. And suddenly there's all this talk about how this heralds the beginning of the end times. Lots of people putting up videos about it on YouTube. And as I sit out here on the deck waiting for the end times to begin and waiting for the Mercury transit, it's a good time for a podcast. In this podcast, podcast 497, I want to talk about digital media a little bit. I want to talk about podcasting as a format a little bit and talk about being ahead of the curve a little bit in podcast 497. Well, I've been talking a lot about mobile podcast command and, just getting ready for summer operations because there's a lot of things I want to do. Want to go to Sturgis again, especially this year since it's not an anniversary year, so it's going to be a little bit more normal as far as Sturgis is concerned. I want to go to the air show, and I also want to add Burning Man as a festival to go to because I think that's reaching a critical mass. I'm kind of excited about that. I want to check out Burning Man. I talk a lot about Mobile Podcast Command. If you go to thebobdavispodcast.com, you'll see a picture of Mobile Podcast Command. And right underneath that is a donate button, and I'm accepting donations for diesel fuel and coffee and beef jerky, which I eat when I'm out on the road. And I always tell people Mobile Podcast Command came from ex-government cars. The whole story is I was going to buy a van because I was sleeping in my car when I go on road trips and doing podcasts. And my friend Ed at ex-government cars was like, let's get you an ambulance. That'll be cool. And so he found the ambulance, and now he can do that for you because they have all sorts of Ford trucks, Chevy trucks, Dodge trucks, Toyota trucks, and more out in Forest Lake at ex-government cars and ex-government trucks. They've got a huge one-acre lot there that has a huge selection of the great ex-government cars, the Crown Vicks, the Ford Police sedans, the Ford Police SUVs, the Dodge Chargers, and the Chevy Impalas, as well as the work trucks, the SUVs like Expeditions, and more. Now, there's a couple things about ex-government cars that's really great. First of all, they've been doing this for a long time. They know where to find the best cars. They also take trades, so they pay the highest values every day without a lot of BS. So bring your car in and see what you can get. Also, they have the 3-day peace of mind guarantee, which means you buy with confidence. And then, most importantly, ex-government cars can get you financed. They have fast financing for all credit levels at ex-governmentcars.com and ex-governmenttrucks.com. Here's the telephone number, 763-777-8782. And I will, give you, check them out online at ex-government trucks and ex-governmentcars.com. And yes, I brought the bullhorn. So in the midst of this plane flying over, I'm gonna hit the bullhorn real loud. So there you go. Check out ex-government cars and ex-government trucks. I love ex-government cars. I've had 3 Crown Vicks, and they're great. And I love all these websites where people say, these cars have been road hard and put up wet. These are the best cars I've ever owned. And I've had a lot of cars in my life. Varying years, new cars, old cars. They're great. And they're well-maintained, and, I had a 2000 Crown Vic, I had a 2003 Crown Vic, and I now have a 2007 Crown Vic, 115,000 miles, still runs great, and then, of course, Mobile Podcast Command with 125,000 miles on it. So, I'm pretty much an authority on ex-government cars and what they can do and so forth. So, anyway.
ExGovernmentCars.com.
Now, the planes are landing and taking off, so It's actually really cool out here because it's still early spring and there's no wind tonight at all. So I've got the tiki torch sitting right here. You can kind of hear it crackling. I pull the wicks way up so that they provide light and heat. And I just filled them up so they're not going to burn down while I'm doing this podcast. And it's really cool because it's very quiet out here. It's still too early in the year for there to be any insects. The only thing that has happened is those June bugs are falling out of the trees and kind of buzzing around. And I turned the kitchen light on, and that seems to keep them away. I don't know whether it's the tiki torch thing that attracts them or the citronella candle that attracts them or what, but they were literally falling out of the tree a little while ago. So I turned the kitchen light on and refilled the tiki torches. And hopefully that will break the June bug spell. But there's no bugs yet. It's still quiet out here, which is amazing because in about a week, we're into early May. Probably in about a week, you're gonna be able to come out here and you're gonna hear, crickets and mosquitoes and all kinds of things. One of my favorite things is right around this time of the year, the leaves are fully out now, and it's this bright green color. It's not even the dark green that you see later on in the summer. But as soon as the mosquitoes, just hatch and come out in large numbers, in those early summer nights, if you're really quiet, you can hear this weird sort of almost subliminal buzz. And if you listen, you can hear, and it's really millions of mosquitoes, and it's really cool, especially early in the year, because you don't hear all the other bugs, the crickets and stuff, and the frogs. So because those aren't going, you can as soon as those mosquitoes come out in large numbers, you can hear that mosquito buzz, and it's just fascinating because it means millions of mosquitoes. And actually, there's none of that right now. It's still really quiet. Just listen. And of course, there's no wind, which means that the planes aren't too loud tonight. So I do have to deal with the planes landing and taking off. But it's late enough that I think we're okay on that front. So usually on Sunday nights, I do something that I call a consolidation podcast. This is a podcast where I look at all the things that happened in the previous week, and then I look ahead for people to the next week. But the fact is that the last 2 weeks of podcasts have been way ahead in terms of what's going on. And it's very interesting to me because I don't know what it means that the podcasts have gotten really far ahead. I do this radio show every week now. And part of the thing with the radio show is I have to listen to the podcast to find excerpts, because the idea of the radio show is that I take excerpts from the podcast and put them into this radio show. And I've been posting the radio show so people can hear what it's all about. But you probably don't know that, the first segment is 10 minutes. The second segment is 9 minutes. The third segment is 10 minutes. The fourth segment is almost 11 minutes. So these radio segments that make up an hour of radio time are nothing like the podcast, because I can be conversational in a podcast, and I have to listen to the podcast over and over again to find a good excerpt to put into the show. And then when I create the show and produce the show, I'm listening to myself over and over again, which drives me crazy. But it's interesting because if you actually listen to the last 2 weeks of podcasts, they predicted the current fight with Republicans on a potential Trump candidacy, if you're listening to the stuff about politics. And even the political Walking Dead podcast a few weeks ago predicted the end of the Cruz and Kasich campaign. So, as I said, one of the things about the radio show is there is at least one segment each week of original content, which if you listen to the radio show podcast, you're going to hear that original content. And really, that first 10-minute segment set up this week. And the cool thing about podcasts is that once you do it, I just don't feel the need to just repeat over and over and over again. That's one of the things about radio that drove me crazy, is that if you do a regular radio show every day, you just end up going over the same ground over and over and over and over again. And there's enough of that in podcasting. But the thing is, when you do a podcast, like, I don't need to do another podcast about what happened in Indiana, because I did one. It's done. If you want to listen to it, you can listen to it. I don't need to keep repeating the observations from there. And so what happens is each week, I do all the research and I do these podcasts. And then, I do the podcast and then I kind of move on. So sometimes it gets to be hard to do a podcast because the rest of the world hasn't moved on yet, because that stuff is so current. And a good example of that is that, I predicted that there would be some problems with the establishment. And I suggested that calling Trump the presumptive nominee, while technically correct, may be presumptive indeed, because we don't know what's going to happen at the Republican convention yet. And then the next day, suddenly, you know, the whole thing about the Bushes not attending the convention and John McCain saying that the Senate seats are vulnerable and this whole fight between Ryan and Trump and some of the backers, the moderate backers not supporting Trump and everything else just kind of appeared out of nowhere. And it's just fascinating because without even knowing that was going to happen, I said, you know, I mean, I felt like I was out on a limb saying, well, I don't know if I would call him the presumptive nominee. You know, certainly technically, as I said, yeah, you could say that he's the presumptive nominee because there's no one opposing him. But it looks like something is going to be up at the convention as it pertains to the moderates. So that podcast may be more prescient than I realized. You know, that podcast might actually still be current because of that. And it's just interesting, the whole thing with digital media is you have time to research and to think and to do something deeper. And just rolling tape and talking doesn't work anymore for me because this stuff and the potential of digital media in terms of being able to be a longer conversation. Like if I want to sit here and talk about this stuff for an hour, you know, I can put up a 59-minute podcast. I don't have to just cut it off at 10 minutes. I mean, I've been talking for 8 minutes right now, 8 or 9 minutes right now, and, you know, I haven't even scratched the surface yet, which some people might not like because it's like, well, get to the point, what are you trying to say? But on the other hand, it's a more conversational experience and you can kind of work into things and things come up that wouldn't come up and you get to say things that you wouldn't necessarily say in, on the radio. So it's kind of neat. So why did I bring up media? Like, why do I want to talk about media and digital media in this podcast? Well, I've talked about this particular thing many, many times in the podcast. I talked a lot about it when I went out and covered the campaigns in Mobile Podcast Command. And it just came up this week because my friend John down in Tennessee called me up. Well, actually, I called him. He sent me a text and said, hey, I saw this New York Times article by Ben Rhodes, or about Ben Rhodes, who is a White House communications aide and deputy national security advisor. He is the young aide that is supposedly the guy that did the mind meld with Obama and writes all his speeches. And the New York Times article basically talked about how Rhodes was saying that they control the media. And of course, this has gotten all kinds of reaction this weekend, the people saying, well, how dare they control the media and everything else. And he's saying that reporters don't talk to anyone anymore. They really don't report anymore. They just rewrite press releases. They don't necessarily go out and cover stories in the traditional sense. Now, that is certainly a vast generalization, but it is actually true in some cases. And it's really one of the reasons I went out on the campaign trail, because I wanted to see the media in action. Part of it was I saw them in action at a couple of things I went to locally. And I thought, you know, I want to see what they actually do. So if you listen to those podcasts that I did on the campaign trail, you're going to hear about how they send stringers or producers to set up cameras, and then they go talk to people in the crowd or they get man on the street. I've talked about it many, many times. And this is what serves as insight into what voters for a specific candidate want. There actually are just a few people in the news media that are working in Washington who are well-connected, and they're talking to people inside and spending time at these dinners and cocktail parties and things like that, and they're getting the skinny on what's actually going on inside, and they're getting insight. Now, I don't know who those people are. I think some of them work at Politico and some of them work for the networks, but by and large, what Rhodes is saying in the New York Times piece Thursday or Friday is what I have been saying, that is most of the news that you see is either directly copied from a press release, or it's the whole press release simply copied and pasted into a news website, and then it's picked up and rewritten and rehashed by other news outlets, including newspapers and the big 24-hour news networks and the broadcast networks, or it's someone's opinion based on the press release, or it's a source that simply repeats the press release. And in this way, institutions like the White House or the Speaker's Office, or the unions, or whoever, are able to use PR techniques to literally directly transmit their story into the media. And because reporters don't really talk to sources and then fact check those sources, they just go and repeat what someone else said, or they find someone that can tell them what happened, and then they repeat that, and that's their source. Sources say, or this person says this, and they write for a local newspaper, or they are on the inside as opposed to actually double-checking sources. This is what happens in terms of media, and this is one of the reasons that we are in this situation where we have so much opinion out there and commentary, which also doubles as gospel in lieu of any other real reporting. There just isn't anybody actually breaking new ground. So one of the missions of this podcast is to try and break new ground. And it actually makes me feel good that last week's podcast, after the primary in Indiana and then after the suspension of the Kasich campaign, were predictive enough of the future that I don't have to do another podcast necessarily about that. Now, there'll be more developments this week, and then we'll move forward. But what I like to do is just wait until something happens and then do a podcast about it. Well, it isn't warm yet. Last week we had three really warm days. That one day, Friday, was like 90, and that was great. But, you know, we're at the point now where Ryan Plumbing and Heating can come and actually check your air conditioning, because most days it's over 70. And you want to get your AC checked if you haven't done it. If you're like me, you know, I usually wait till the last minute for these things. But, you know, your air conditioner is off all winter, and it's a good idea to have it checked because there can be issues with filters. Sometimes they have to wash the box off with the actual air conditioning unit outside. So call Ryan Plumbing and Heating and have your air conditioning checked. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. And then keep that information handy because they do great emergency service. And the thing that I've learned about plumbing is you don't think about a plumber until you have a huge problem that needs to be addressed. And Ryan Plumbing and Heating goes metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too. They've been doing this for four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and especially business. And I want to quickly mention, a lot of people in business, they don't think much about plumbing because they're in business. And if you are in a business and you have plumbing issues, it's the same thing. When you have an emergency, especially if it's got you closed today and you want to make some money, remember Ryan Plumbing and Heating, because they can get you back up and running for business as well. They're on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol. They go metro-wide. They can get a plumber near you. I was with Greg this weekend, and he was taking calls at like 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. People are calling the office and saying, hey, I got a problem with this. Can you guys help me out? In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. I think the last thing I said in podcast 495 was that I expected the Republican establishment to push back against Trump. And then, as I said this weekend, it started to happen. So part of this whole original content in the Bob Davis Podcast radio show and also on the podcast is about really kind of connecting the dots and saying, this is really all you need to be aware of at this point. And this is one of the reasons that politics and talking about politics gets difficult for me. We're in between something happening right now. And we're in between some event that should be reported on, but because we have 24-hour news channels and 24-hour talk radio stations and news hosts who essentially have to come up with their own stuff every day, there's no actual information that provokes thought for you to think about. It's just stuff that feeds, the what I would refer to as the tribal flames. It's just beating on the drum. It isn't necessarily a new sound for you to think about. And, you know, a good example of this is before the last few primaries, I was at a friend's party and I had a conversation with a guy that went on for like an hour where he just kept insisting. This is somebody who's fairly experienced and knowledgeable and part of the, you know, local Republican structure in a certain part of town and just kept telling me that Ted Cruz was going to be the nominee. And I kept saying, you know, here's this piece of information. Here's this piece of information. Here's this piece of information. I don't think so. Here's why. And he just kept repeating over and over again. Yeah, he's going to get all the delegates and he's going to do this and this is going to happen off the... And, you know, there you go. And so when the Cruz campaign suspended, it was shocking to people because they believe information that reinforces their point of view in their tribal world. And I actually talked this weekend in the show, the radio show, about the tribal nature of politics and how if you're not a part of a tribe, then they don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear about you, and they don't. So if you go out and you talk to some Trump people and they don't think that you're a Trump person, they're not interested in what you have to say. If you go out and talk to some Cruz people, they don't want to hear what you have to say if they think you're a Trump person. And if you're non-aligned, it's really hard to get people to listen because they want someone to reinforce their views. And this is also a part of the Democrat experience as well. You have older Clinton people that don't understand the Bernie Sanders people and vice versa. And so when it gets boiled down to it's the millennials and their cell phones, or it's the liberals and their panty waist ideas about bathrooms, or it's those, you know, conservatives who are racists, and everybody's in a tribe. And none of it really even begins to address the kinds of problems that we have. You know, somebody asked me to do an economics podcast, and I did. And, you know, I can track performance of podcasts, and that's one of the least listened to podcasts. And I'm glad that the person that suggested it listened to it. I thought it was pretty cool that he listened to it. But it's like, you know, I went through and I looked at market news for a week or so, and I talked about the kinds of problems that are actually facing the world, which are really problems of sovereign debt and central bank printing money and, you know, trying to reinflate the banking system by giving them, by, you know, all sorts of these methods of cheap money and so forth, producing real problems because it's not generating enough economic growth. We just saw unemployment is down. Unemployment is actually, we didn't create enough jobs last month. I guess that's the best way to put it. And then you see the same dichotomy of arguments. Things are going great. Things aren't going great. You know, and I talked about how we're not having what I would refer to as prosperity. We're not even talking about how to address those kinds of problems. You know, building bridges and single-payer health care and minimum wage issues are not prosperity-creating tools. I mean, that's not the conversation. And I don't care what the problem is. Inequality, foreign policy issues. We're not having conversations about that stuff. We're having arguments in which people are throwing out, you know, bromides. And so we're not working on the kinds of problems that we need to work on. And we're not creating the kinds of organizations that are going to spawn the kind of politicians that are going to be able to work on those problems or actually put pressure on politicians long enough for them to actually be able to start hashing out what needs to be done. And so the lack of knowledge about politics in general, just in my circle, is shocking. I mean, it's not even shocking anymore. I hate to use the word shocking because that's not even it. It's just sad. People can tell you all about the Constitution, but they can't explain economics or understand how people can be for the other guy, whoever the other guy is. And if they are for the other guy, they're stupid or they're evil or there's something wrong with them. And then you turn on the radio or the 24-hour news channel or whatever, and that's all you hear. You know, if you're for this, you're asleep, and if you're for that, you're evil, and if you're for that, you're dumb, and this is why this is, and it's everybody's advocating, and everything is rhetorical, and it's not good. And so it makes it hard to talk about politics because here again, we're not hearing new opinion and new development. And I know because I look at this stuff every day and I see what goes on. And most of it is just a rehash and a clickbait headline that says Trump can win or, you know, Trump is actually this or Hillary Clinton is going to go to federal prison or Hillary Clinton isn't going to go to federal prison or whatever. How many times can we have that discussion? You know, how many times are we going to have the discussion about Hillary Clinton's email servers in the bathroom? Or how many times are we going to have the conversation about how Donald Trump is not a Republican? Or whatever the thing is that somebody's going to type up and put out there, regardless of the source. I mean, how many times can you have that conversation? And yet, it's like... The best way for me to describe it is when I used to work in music radio at top 40 radio stations. Most people, you grew up listening to top 40 radio, you know that you would hear the same song. You know, if whatever was a current hit, you would hear it a lot because radio stations would do something called rotate it a lot, which meant you played it every couple of hours. And some places, you know, you played it every 90 minutes. You know, I worked at some of those places that I did that. And the secret to making a radio station sound good at the time was to have a very tight, something called a tight playlist. So believe it or not, most music radio stations back in the day had a list of songs that maybe was 100 records or so. They would play 100 or so songs. And, you know, in the heyday of AM Top 40 radio, maybe they played 15 or 20 current songs, 15 or 20 recurrents, and 80 or 90 old, quote unquote, oldies of varying age. And, you know, if you turned on the radio station, the idea was that you would hit the number one song almost all the time. In fact, there were radio stations that had a light in the control room during the 1960s, and the light would go on. And when that light went on, you had to play the number one song. So whatever the number one song was, I Want to Hold Your Hand or whatever, got played sometimes every half hour when it was brand new and it was a hot song. And the effect was when you turned on your radio, you heard your favorite song again. And for people that said, well, they play the same songs over and over again, the response is nobody doesn't like their favorite song. You know, if you like cheesecake and you just got to have cheesecake, you're going to eat cheesecake every day. Well, that's kind of what's going on with politics. This stuff is in hot rotation. These same arguments are in hot rotation, and we're not. But what's happening is it's getting stale for me, and I think for a lot of people who use digital media, it's getting stale because it's the same thing over and over and over again. And it's a fascinating thing to watch. You know, you have people on the left. And as far as they're concerned, you know, they're all for equalizing and solving all the nation's problems through some sort of government solution, until the solution means they have to pay higher taxes themselves, or the train is coming through their backyard, or that somebody says that they're the filthy rich when they only make $250,000 a year or something like that. And then suddenly they're upset about it and they want something done. My favorite thing is here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, we have a thing called the Met Council, and the Met Council wants to put through this Southwest light rail line, which is going to go through some of the richest neighborhoods in Minneapolis, which are some of the most liberal neighborhoods in Minneapolis. And suddenly they are up in arms about this train, and they've suddenly discovered the Met Council as an evil entity. And it's like conservatives have been talking about overreach of government power for a long time, and you know, the left has been scoffing at that, and suddenly they are getting a front page lesson or a front row seat to government overreach in the form of the Met Council in Minneapolis and St. Paul. You know, as long as the discussion is politically correct, like making fun of Trump or talking about how great Tesla is, then you can have a conversation. But if you take a position that is somewhat hard-edged, suddenly friendly people become very unfriendly and cold. So no wonder people don't discuss stuff like this. And, you know, most of the time, that's when your crazy conservative guy is shunned, and then people talk about him after he leaves because they're very concerned about somebody saying something that the rest of the tribe doesn't want to hear. Because if you're not a member of the tribe, you're just not welcome. And this is fascinating because we're supposed to be beyond... Americans are not supposed to be a tribal culture. We're supposed to be together in the fact that we are all Americans. And yet, we are becoming a much more tribal culture, especially politically, where we simply will not listen to someone that we don't agree with. And that is very sad because I don't know that... I mean, maybe that's why your mom always told you not to talk about politics or religion at a party, right? When people ask me what I am, I've got the point now where I just tell them I'm an anarchist. Or I say I'm an agorist. And they don't have a clue what that is on either side of the political spectrum. A what? Yeah. yeah, I'm that. You know, a market anarchist. And don't worry, I can't explain it either. I just wish they would all go away and we could sit and we could have a conversation and not have a fight about it. The thing is, nobody is talking about solving problems. As I said, we're not really talking about what kind of country we're going to build together. It is profoundly depressing and frustrating if you're looking at the wide spectrum of opinion and reporting and thinking about the negatives and the positives associated with the entire spectrum rather than just the negatives with the, quote, other side and the side you don't agree with and the positives associated with, quote, your side and the side you agree with. It's really hard to have a conversation about economics when you are a supply sider or a fan of von Mises or, you know, Murray Rothbard or something. You know, it becomes really difficult to have that kind of a conversation with people who are steeped in Keynesian ideas because it gets political right away. Instead of saying, what about doing this? What about doing it this way? What about doing it that way? Because they don't, you know, we all have different levels of expertise. And when I encounter somebody that's much smarter than I am on an economic issue, I listen. You know, even if I don't agree, I listen. And I think a lot of people don't do that. They just keep having the argument. Increasingly, what people are signing on to are ready-made personality or issue-driven campaigns, literally cults of personality, tribes associated with personalities, rather than working to build strong organizations. Let's go back to the argument that Ted Cruz had with the blue-collar, the unemployed blue-collar steel guy in Indiana. He didn't really, and I don't think Ted Cruz should have gone out and argued with the guy on the issues, and I think it was a perfect example of what happens when you try to do that, because the guy said, hey, Lion Ted, the people of Indiana don't want you. He wasn't having an argument. He was just poking at him and saying things that he had heard over and over again, and Ted Cruz is trying to argue with the guy about something economic. You know, although he was still spewing his own rhetoric, you know, it was a very interesting, it was two ships passing in the night because we're not working to build strong organizations. We're just signing on to a personality-driven, you know, idea. We're signing on to a cult of personality. And then you get into meetings and everybody's of a specific tribe and you don't interface with anyone from any other walks of life, and anyone that might disagree with you or represent a lifestyle or point of view that's unacceptable to the rest of your tribe. And so you're in the Crips or the Bloods, period. And never the two shall meet, right? In terms of media, the mission of these podcasts is to provide some perspective. It's becoming the mission, especially in this election year, instead of being tied to a candidate or issue or tribe. Certainly my bias is literally, I've said it that I'm becoming an anarchist in the sense that I think it's a perfect place to start and say we shouldn't have any government, you know, because then if you zero base it, it becomes a whole question of, well, how much government do we want to have and what exactly do we want to have it do? And I'm becoming more tied to that idea than anything else. I'm becoming more focused on the kind of future we're going to have and getting people focused on building that future rather than on the other side. I think there's a lot of people that want to go back to 1959. I think there's a lot of people that are looking backward in a wistful way to a time that is never going to come back, or to a dystopian view of enforced equality where the government or some other, you know, entity fixes all things that are wrong and solves all wounds. No one is talking about the in-between where we actually are going to have to solve problems or even to suggest solutions. It's just you're in this tribe or you're in that tribe and we don't like you and you don't like us and that's that. I interface with a lot of people that, you know, say things to me politically, and I listen, and I don't say anything. I just, you know, or I might throw one or two things out because they can't go deep on it, and they don't want to. And I'm not talking about necessarily liberals. I'm talking about people on right, on the right and left. And even that paradigm is a joke. You know, up, down, right, left, liberal, conservative. Nobody even knows what it means anymore. And I don't even think those are meaningful words anymore. I mean, you have a Republican candidate who is advocating for universal health care, minimum wage, and infrastructure development, which is essentially what Barack Obama advocated for. And this guy is the quote-unquote presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, and people think he's anti-establishment, when in reality, what's he saying that's any different from what's already being talked about right now or what's actually being enacted by the current administration? It's fascinating, and people think that he's anti-establishment. It's bizarre. So the podcast format, whether it's audio or video, is the perfect venue for talking about this stuff, because it's very difficult to have a conversation presentation, a conversational presentation in radio or television, because there's simply no time for it. You're dealing with formatting. It's like writing a screenplay that, you know, the average screenplay is 120, 130 pages. Each page represents a minute. You've got a beginning, a middle, and an end, and you've got to tie all the things together, and you've got to climax the story at a specific point. And so the screenplay format, which almost every movie is written in, you know, if you're a writer, you learn that you got to work with that format, and that's just how it is. That's the medium that you're working in. Well, podcasting is a different medium from broadcast television or radio, and that's why I don't like making it. I don't want to make podcasts like the radio. I mean, what I'm doing with the radio show is taking excerpts from the podcast to tease these deeper discussions, whatever they are and whatever shape they take, in the podcast, whether it's me or whether I'm interviewing somebody or having a conversation with somebody. And it's actually an eye-opener of what I can get into in 10 minutes. You know, I can certainly discuss these topics in 10 minutes. I've done it for years. I know how to do it. But to go deeper and get it all said isn't possible in the radio format. And even in this format, I now am at the point where I have to organize my ideas. I can't just sit here. I mean, I do occasionally. But I can't just sit here and talk about stuff, because I can't get it all out, because we're in this sort of really fluid time when it's really hard to get a handle on what it is. And I know, because I have conversations all day with people, and you can only cover so much ground. You know, it's one of the reasons I'm hoarse sometimes when I do these podcasts, because it isn't just because I'm breathing in yoga, it's because I've been on the phone all day. And that's one of the reasons the podcasts have been so prescient, because I've had the time to figure all this stuff out. And big shout out to my son, who's doing stuff in LA with YouTube. He and I have really complex, long discussions, and we have sussed a lot of this stuff out long before it actually happens. And it's kind of fun, because he takes parts of the conversation and does his thing, and then I take parts of the conversation and do my things. I don't have to talk about Trump and the fight in the GOP, because I've already talked about it, as I said earlier. I don't have to engage in the he's gonna type discussion, because I already did it, or I am able to wait until the whatever is gonna happen actually happens, and then we can predicate the discussion of what we think about that. Once again, if you're on a steady diet of that stuff, then you are woefully uninformed, and you're not using your tools correctly. You're not using your smartphone correctly, because it doesn't matter where you are in the political spectrum. You're still getting crappy information, because you're just getting rehashes and repeats, going back to the stuff I said about Ben Rhodes. And digital isn't always better either. It's very interesting, because I opened this podcast with a Mercury Transit thing. And if you go on YouTube, you're going to see all kinds of videos about this heralding of the coming of the end times. And I saw an article in The Guardian or something, that a reporter called somebody who did one of these videos, who was an evangelist guy who thinks it's the end of the world and it's the end times. And rather than investigating, you know, exactly how many times this transit has occurred and what these planetary alignments actually mean and what it might mean in terms of biblical verse, they just repeat what the guy said, because they just watched the video and repeated what he said and wrote an article about it and put some pictures up of Mercury transiting the sun and some fire and some pictures of Sodom and Gomorrah, and, you know, boom, now you got an article. And suddenly there's videos all over YouTube about this heralding of the coming of the end times. Lots of technical information about the transits and planetary alignments and retrogrades from religious people that I thought weren't interested in astrology. And the thing that's confusing and interesting to me is these planets aren't aligning, they're not stationing, and they're not retrograding. They're continuing on their path. They're going around in a circle around the sun, just like we are. It's just in terms of our perspective. So why are we talking about things like Mercury retrograde and alignments when Mercury's not going backwards? Mercury's doing what it always does. It's going around in a circle around the sun, just like we are. And we haven't changed our orbit, and Mars hasn't changed its orbit, and they aren't lining up and stopping as though they're going to do something. It's just something that's visible from the Earth in terms of where constellations are right now, and they've been there before, and they will be there again. It's just like all the videos about the Mayan prophecies. And finally, somebody said, you know, the thing is, they ran the calendar out to 32 100 or something and said, you know, oh no, they ran the calendar out to 2016 and said, I think that's pretty far out, because they made it in 1650 or something. And they're like, you know, we did 500 years. This is good enough. These videos are right up there with the videos that were released as soon as Prince died, about his death being an Illuminati murder and Beyonce is part of the Illuminati because she put her hand over her eye or whatever. And it's pure comedy unless you believe all that stuff. So there's a lot of crap in terms of digital as well. And the word that I wanted to get across in this podcast is discernment. We really need to begin to understand the idea of discerning what is real information and what isn't. It's one of the reasons that I'm reading the CIA World Factbook, because I like to know how many people live in St. Kitts versus what somebody says. Or I like to know the population of Estonia versus somebody saying, oh my God, Estonia is doing this and this is what's going to happen. It's like, well, wait a minute. I mean, there's a baseline of factual information that we should be working from. And I think if we stay in the now and we stay on factual stuff, if you want to look at that stuff and laugh and think of it as comedy, that's one thing. If you want to believe that that stuff is true, you know, be my guest. But it still doesn't help people who are interested in solving problems, because you have to work in a factual world to solve problems. It's one of the reasons we're not able to solve problems, because everybody is working in this opinion realm, and they're working with opinions and feelings and commentary, as opposed to, here's what we know is actually happening. This is what's happening. There's a plane right over my head right now. That it's not the end of, that's not the trumpets of Gabriel. It's an airplane. You know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of stuff I'm sitting out here thinking, waiting for the June bugs to drop from the trees that are now full and waiting for the bugs to come out. So that should do it for podcast 497, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Thanks once again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating. In Minneapolis, you can call 612-927-6488. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. They go metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too. If you're in business, you usually don't have the name of a plumber that you can call in case of an emergency. And Ryan does a lot of business stuff. They do a lot of business work. So if you have problems with plumbing in your business, call Ryan. If you have an emergency situation with your business, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And don't forget, when you're putting your donations together for Mobile Podcast Command, that the Ford Super Duty 450 ambulance, the diesel ambulance, which I love so much, I was over there warming it up the other day, is just late of ex-government cars, and the ex-government cars Mega Truck Center, now open in Forest Lake, Minnesota. They have a huge selection on a giant one-acre lot at 356 19th Street. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. Work trucks, SUVs, vans, and of course, the incomparable ex-government cars, which are fleet-maintained and made ready for you. Ex-government cars, 763-777-8782, exgovernmentcars.com. Don't forget, they can get you financed at all credit levels. They pay the highest values for trades every day. And you have the 3-day peace of mind guarantee. And yeah, I brought the bullhorn out.
SixGovernmentCars.com.
Thanks to Alpha Systems, the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcasts. You hear the planes going over, and they're all turning on final approach, and they're all using their AOA. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. This is a visual indicator for you, so you can tell your angle of attack easily on your final approach. And the bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. It's FAA approved. They want to get it into your plane's avionics package today. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. It takes you to a video that I voiced that shows a final approach using the AOA that I think is flown by a former YouTube pilot. And thanks, Alpha Systems, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. And thanks to you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show at AM 1280 The Patriot in Minneapolis at 4 p.m. on Saturdays. As I get more affiliates, I will let you know. These are just different apps for listening to the podcast. Thank you for subscribing right off the page at TheBobDavisPodcast.com. You can listen to the podcast right off the page at TheBobDavisPodcast.com. But it's available in all these different places for distribution, and that's great. Thank you for liking and sharing and favoriting on your favorite social media, Facebook, the Gram, as we're now calling it, Instagram, and Twitter. And thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com.